B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, hey, championship weekend here. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifshatz. A ton of bets going on this week. We got sides, totals, props, you name it, futures, all on the table today here throughout the show. Of course, it's championship weekend. We'll start it off with the Bucks and the Green Bay Packers, and then we'll have the Bills and Chiefs. That's on Sunday. There's a loaded college basketball slate today. UFC tonight. Conor McGregor, whenever you hear that name, people want to watch the television. So we'll at least give you the odds on that. I have a thought on it. We'll see what Dan's thought is as well. Certainly would love to hear from you guys, the UFC experts out there who know this stuff. Let's make some money today. That's what I'm in for, Dan. I'm ready. I want to make some dough today. We got NBA games as well today and tomorrow as well. So just real quick, looking at last night, I thought in college basketball, Michigan at home, off a loss, boom, 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 easy money. Even though Purdue has played very well on the road and probably one of the hottest tens in the Big Ten. There's a lot of Big Ten games today that I'm afraid of. I'm just afraid in general. But Michigan gets a 70-53 win last night, stays under the total by 12 points. So I was very happy. Oh, 17 points. So I was very happy about that. And then in the NBA, Dan, the only game I lost last night, I took the under in the Celtics. I got to learn, you know, I just got to learn. A lot of free throws.
They're not a good defensive team this year.
Yeah. I will say this, in that fourth quarter. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Both teams scored 30 points. I can't believe that. Wow. Both teams scored 30 points in that fourth quarter. Yeah, Celtics, they were, 5-point dogs last night, lose by 11 or 7.5. Brooklyn, again, you said something to me just before the show started. You don't think they're good with Harden. I did hit the game on Monday, money line against the Bucks.
I mean, it's on Kyrie. It's not Harden, it's Kyrie. Which is, again, we've talked about this now for a couple weeks now. The problem is always going to be that guy. It's that guy.
38 points last night for Kyrie?
Good for him.
Yeah, man. I don't think it helps the team.
I mean, yeah.
It's like Marcus Smart having 25, 20, 30 points.
We saw Kyrie put up empty stats here when they were facing Milwaukee, and they were just terrible in the playoffs. Empty stats, the guy did absolutely nothing else to help the team.
Yeah, I liked them the other night, but Kyrie didn't play. So, you know, you may be on to something there. I like them. I'm still going to take them to win the East this year. But the Bucks kept it close. The buyout market, Dan, that's what it's going to come down to, man. You know, I think that team will improve on the buyout market. But that's constantly what I'm going to look at every week, right? Every week it's, all right, is this team worth a future bet? Is this team worth a future? I mean, yeah, you look at Kyrie, everyone will, you like, to your point, you'll see 38 points, 30 minutes. But, like, did Durant even play last night?
No, he didn't. And there's going to, I mean, the point is that Kyrie's going to need to sacrifice at some point for this team. I still think they win the East just because they're more talented than everyone, but yeah. I think they're going to ultimately lose to the Lakers, the Clippers. I personally think it would be the Lakers again. Just because of the fact that, you know, Kyrie is just he's a selfish guy. He's not playing for the team. And I think in the East this year, I mean, you look around the East, I think they're significantly more talented. The Celtics right now are a mess. I know that they have a good record, but I mean, it feels like on the road that they're lost. If they face a team like the Sixers or someone like that with a big, I don't know how far they can go. Tristan Thompson looks like the worst player on the roster. Daniel Tice is significantly worse than he was last year. Robert Williams might be your best center on the roster right now. You know, they're struggling. Again, hopefully that will turn around. I don't see them adding a player at the deadline, you know, through the trade exception. Maybe a smaller guy. But
hey, just to bring that up, if they use it this year, I found this out recently. If they use that trade exception this year, it's only $20 million.
$19 million.
19.
You can only use $19 million unless you spend out other salaries. Then, as you send out other salaries, the trade exception can go up. However, you can't apply those salaries to the trade.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, the there's, again, and Celtics fans don't understand that, but, yes, it is a serious problem. You're not getting $28 million trade exception this year. You're getting a $19 million trade exception.
Well,
you're not
yet. When is it $28
million? Next, so it'll be next offseason. So it's technically a full, you have a full
And they have to use it by, like, a June or something?
By, I think it's, like, there's a certain day in next year. In next year's office.
So looking at it realistically, they might not even use that because they'd rather get the 28 million.
I think that they'll use it in the offseason. I think that that's, and again, I think that's what most people had talked about. Brian Robb being one of them is the likelihood is that they'll use the exception in the offseason. And I think that that would be
the smart. Because maybe this team's not worth investing in. Like, let Brown... Tatum play?
It's just
like Kemba get better. Maybe try to trade him.
It's just you don't have assets that you can use. I mean, if you use Smart, then you're basically using your $15 million trade chip, and then
for next year.
Well, then he doesn't count. His salary really won't count in the trade, so it's almost worthless to use him.
Just real quick, looking at the standings, I mean, it's funny to me. The Sixers look like it's got to be Doc, right? Doc has to be the difference in that team, unless Simmons got a reality check. But it's got to be Doc Rivers that's making the team play this way. He uses the bench very well. I have to say that.
I was critical of him last year. I thought it was a joke that the Sixers hired him. He's doing a really good job. He's proving me wrong.
So far.
We're 15 games in the season. Yeah, it's early.
And the Pacers, you know, they're another team that...
Miles Turner. Maybe, Celtics fans, you could have used that guy. Right? No, he's not. He played last night.
Get out of here.
With a broken hand, he had 22-9-4. Well, maybe, Celtics fans, you could shut the F up and maybe you could use that guy.
By the way, I know this is a gambling show. We'll get into more gambling talk. My overall take was I didn't love Miles Turner. I actually liked that Danny Ainge was asking for a little more. And in the end, he lost it, so, like, that's bad on him. But I wonder, like, if Miles Turner was like, oh, what, you don't think I'm good enough? Like, because he was kind of a lump last year.
He was hurt last year.
He was a lump.
Everyone forgets that. He was hurt last year.
Yeah. No, you're right. He's good this year. He's very good.
He's 24 years old.
And we look at the bigs around the league. I always liked the Hawks this year. I always kind of liked what they had to offer there. And then the Knicks, geez, hanging in there at 8.
I mean, last night was not a good game for them. I was on the Kings and the under in that game. But still, I think the Knicks are better than they have been in years, Joe. I mean, really years. Miami started very, very poorly. Yeah. I wonder when or if they're going to rebound. I assume they are. I just wonder when that's going to be.
Yeah. Western got Jazz overs, man. They have been crushing the overs of late. That's Phoenix, good team. Who won last night? Phoenix or I didn't see the Denver.
Denver did.
Denver, okay. It was a one-point spread.
Denver won.
See, look at the two teams. Let's give you 1 point. A lot of money probably came in on Phoenix, right?
Phoenix is opening 1 point again tonight. So interesting. I bet you there's going to be a large amount of money coming back in on Phoenix, sort of like that that Nets Cavs back to back, where Nets got a large amount of the money both nights, despite Durant being out last night. You know, the Cavs I covered and won both games.
So it's weird. I'd like to look into this a little bit more, but these back-to-backs that they're playing, especially in college basketball, there was a trend at one point because there were so many games that were happening that way. But, like, I'm curious because, like, look at the Celtics, for example. They played Cleveland back-to-back. Sorry, they played Philly back-to-back. They didn't cover back-to-back. Both games went over. So I'm curious if there's a trend here.
The trend early in the NBA games is the back-to-back. The team that wins the first game has covered the second game. Especially when that team is getting less of the money. So, for instance, that Cavs team, perfect example, back-to-back games. Obviously, the Nets are going to get more money because they're the Nets. Both nights, the Nets don't cover. Cavs win outright. So, I mean, it's a good example. They're Celtics, public betting favorite both nights on the not back-to-back, but the one and then one.
Yeah, one and one.
Against Philly, didn't cover either one of those. So, yeah, we are seeing that trend. Although I will say Toronto, I rode that train to Miami last night, and Toronto did end up covering the home game.
Toronto won by 20 last night.
Yeah. They. I mean, Miami made a run. They cut it down to 2, and then they fell apart.
Yeah. So. Timberwolves are bad, huh? Looking at watching them right now. Well, they're also playing without Cat, I think, at the moment. But anyways, just watching the television up there. All right, we'll get into a bunch of stuff, too. We're going to talk to Luke Pergandi later on again today. He's got prop spot tickets. People listened last week, Dan, and they asked me a bunch of questions about prop swap. You actually have to have a Vegas ticket to, like, do this, right?
Yeah, it's not. You can't have a bet on your local. It needs to be a legitimate ticket from. It doesn't need to be Vegas. It could be New Jersey or... now Michigan or New Hampshire, wherever
there's a printed ticket. Last night, I'm like, hey, I got all these futures. Where can I sell them? I'm like, dude, that's like, you know, you can't do that. I was like, they're like, oh, there should be a way you could. I don't know.
Nope, because you're local. Hedge, bro. Because your Tony on the corner is not FDIC guaranteed.
Mr. Pickles.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to help you. Andrew is in Alston starting us off today. Hello, Andrew.
Gentlemen, long time no talk. That is my fault. How are we?
How you doing?
What's going on?
I'm good. So this might be a bit of a square pick going to soccer, but I like Bayer Leverkusen three-way line. They're +105 against a good Wolfsburg team, but Bayer's been crushing it this year. Again, I do think it's a bit of a square pick, but my heart is saying to bet it, so I'm going to bet it. Any thoughts, Dan, or any suggestions on some soccer?
I've not done my
They're playing Wolfsburg?
I've not done my soccer research, Andrew, because you have not called in the past few weeks. So I've been slacking,
my
dude.
My schedule changed. I got a girlfriend. It's a big thing.
Dude, you got a girlfriend.
I know.
Well, you have to pay for your girlfriend, don't you?
Yeah, it's okay, true. Well, so, not the way I'm going.
Let me ask you this. How's betting and girlfriend life going?
She is not that turned off by it, even if I lose a fair amount of money.
Are you on your phone a lot, looking at scores and stuff while you guys are hanging out?
We have the smart speaker in my room, so I talk to that a lot. Be like, what's the health score, whatever.
Has she called you a degenerate yet? Does she think you have a problem yet?
I think she might think I have a bit of a problem. I usually drive up after work every Friday night to New Hampshire to bet, like, hundreds of dollars of bets, so... I don't think she's thrilled with that of how I summer Friday nights, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
Hey, babe, let's just go for a ride. Like, let's go to, like, Tuscan.
Yeah, yeah.
Tuscan kitchen or something.
She did. You know? She did volunteer to come once, which I really appreciate. Hey. So she's a keeper.
Listen, if she's gonna ride or die, I'm telling you, that's the way to go there, Andrew. Thank you.
In terms of Leverkusen, just in terms of the price.
What'd you think of that, Tucker?
Wait, did he even offer any soccer?
Yes, he did.
He
took Bayer Leverkusen.
We're just talking girlfriends.
he took Bayer Leverkusen on the money line. Leverkusen opened at -114. They are getting the market is going the other way on that one. So despite them being home square side, the big money bettors do not like your pick, Andrew. I personally don't have a feel for it because I didn't look into the game.
Bayer Leverkusen.
Leverkusen.
Leverkusen, I apologize. They played 17 games, are +15. They have 32 points. Might be a little square, Dan.
Oh, it's definitely square. Wolfsburg is a good good team this year. Wolfsburg actually has been like a half decent roadside and draw 2-5-2 away. Leverkusen hasn't been great at home. 4-3-1. 4-1-3, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was last night. We got games. We got teams that are on wake up call today.
Yep.
Plenty of teams on wake up call today. So we'll start there. Of course, we have the big games this weekend. And anything you guys want to talk about, I'm kind of curious about this UFC event tonight. Poirier McGregor, too. I have my thoughts, but I'm just a casual UFC bettor. We know how the judges work. So I'm curious to know what people think about that one. And then what kind of prop bets we're getting into this week. 617-779-0985. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Tucker Silva is here today.
What's going to talk in the show today? I want to ask him some prop questions.
I want to do props.
I haven't looked at a single prop, so whatever. I'll still do them.
Off the dome then, Tuck.
No, that's fine.
Davante Adams last week.
Nailed that.
Hey, I told you Stephon Diggs would be better. I think Diggs had like 10 catches or something stupid.
By the way, that play that Adams scored a touchdown on, Peters was so pissed. Ramsey was so pissed.
Dude, yeah, I mean, can you blame him?
It was a tremendous play call.
It was a hell of an amazing play call.
And it was built around Ramsey.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was the entire
because
play.
Because he would have had, it's like a pick in basketball.
Yep.
You know,
you're supposed to pass the guy off, and you didn't.
Good throw, too, even though it was a great play call.
I mean, dude, if you're Green Bay, if you're Tampa, how do you defend that? You don't have any. You're going to put Sean Murphy bunting you as like running on one leg on that.
We'll get into this.
I would use that play call again on an important down.
I give Todd Bowles credit last week. It takes balls to run a quarter's defense against a fast. I don't even know if you want to call it New Orleans fast, but they're good route runners. But he ran a quarters defense man and didn't get beat once.
I mean, Drew Brees pretty much beat himself.
He couldn't throw downfield.
Drew Brees beat himself. I thought Bowles sucked. I'm pretty sure.
In last week's game?
Yeah,
I give him credit because I just to stick with that defense the whole game. It worked. You're right, Dan. That it was balls because at some point you're going to get beat.
It worked. They got beat by Jameis Winston. I'm not really sure how much it worked.
That was the old Chicago.
Literally no one covered. A lot of the gimmick plays have worked in the NFL. They had three guys running to cover one guy, and they left. What was it? I can't remember who it was. Talk, help me out here. Who was it got the touchdown pass?
Oh, it was. Was it Callaway?
No, I think it was Smith. Right, Smith. Okay.
Yeah, he had two scores last week.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't really impressed. I thought Drew Brees beat himself. Just turnovers. And then was it Devin White who knocked out the fumble on Jared Cook?
Okay.
That was the impactful play of the game. Unbelievable.
And then Brees
play.
Threw the pick the next play. And then
I thought Devin White kind of won them the game, to be honest.
He's awesome.
I thought he was elite.
He didn't even play against Washington.
I mean, what a pick he looks like, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's put some people on a wake up call today.
Got you.
I like how the rooster's in there at the beginning. All right, I'm going to Carolina. UNC's at home today. They're 6.5-point favorites against NC State. They're 5-0 at home. NC State's 0-3 on the road. But you know what today, Dan? They're going to go into North Carolina, and they're going to cover the 6.5. UNC's on wake-up call. Not PPing it. Just telling them they're on wake-up call.
All right, I mean, I'll take a crappy one. I know it kind of sucks, but Kansas on the road in Norman, Oklahoma today. They're 1.5-point favorites. Kansas, you're on wake-up call today. Oklahoma.
Well, I agree.
Oklahoma's
the spread's one.
Oklahoma's going to win that game. 9th-ranked team in the Big 12, 4-3. I don't know. I don't love Kansas here. They're coming off a lackluster performance, in my opinion. I think they're going to continue that as well. I do have another one. I think I'll give you, Joe. That's a little bit bigger. I mean, again, Kansas lost to Baylor last time. They did cover. How about this, Joe? Missouri over Tennessee. Tennessee is a 7-point favorite at home today. I'm taking Missouri.
So here's why. Tennessee looked ahead at this game when they lost to Florida, and I think they looked ahead, and then today they lost. So now they're on the heels. Missouri, I think at times, does have problems scoring with their good defensive team. So I agree with you on that one. I'll give you one. It's not pretty.
This game also happened. Missouri lost by 20 at home against Tennessee.
It's a little revenge spot. You might not like this one, Dan.
Probably won't. Let's see.
Virginia Tech is on watch today.
They're on wake-up call. I agree with this one.
You going into the dome?
In the dome.
Syracuse like 7-1 this year in the dome. It's the only place they play well. And the spread? 1. So VTech, you are on wake-up call today. And that's a nooner.
That is a nooner.
For all you Syracuse people out there.
Cuse's one loss this year at home to Pitt. And that was a tough
game. Pitt beat Duke
game.
This week. I saw that game.
Mommy, that's not Duke exact. Sucks, that's not huh? exact. Yeah, now you know why. Oof. Now you know why when Mike Krzyzewski is saying, hey, we want to cancel the season. This is unsafe. It's because your team sucks, dude. It has nothing to do with it. I hate him. Can we talk about just for a second? Coach K sucks and blows, and if you support that guy, you suck and blow too.
He's only the best coach of all time.
That dude sucks.
He's the best coach
what's,
of all
what's
time.
What's not play basketball because my team sucks? Come on, dude.
He tried.
Come on, dude.
I think Belichick tried maybe at one point.
Belichick tried to not play basketball?
Well, not basketball, but yeah.
I don't think Belichick ever said he didn't want to play the season.
I don't think he said it.
I don't. What, you mean by like signing Cam Newton? Is that signing Cam Newton?
This year sucks.
Okay.
They'll play Cam. Oh, he'll take $1 million.
Screw you, NFL. I'll sign Cam Newton.
What about this one? Tell me what you think about this one.
All right.
Providence at Villanova. Nova, third best team in the country. They're 3-0 at home, but I think Providence will go in there and hang around. It's 11 points. I think they can hang around. The problem is they can't rebound Providence. Ugh.
I think I'd rather take Maryland as my road dog in a.
Are they playing Minnesota?
They're playing Minnesota.
No. Nope. I'm out. Minnesota at home. I got burned. Nope. No. Did you see what they did to Michigan last week at home?
I did. Then I saw what happened when they were. Then they. I saw what happened also when they faced Michigan on the road.
I saw that too. Okay. Catched it on that.
I will say their win versus Michigan was very
giveth and taketh away.
Very impressive win. They've also had a real tough, a brutal schedule. Iowa, Michigan State at Wisconsin, home versus Ohio State at Michigan at Iowa, home versus Michigan. I mean, talk about murderer's row, dude. And before that, they played St. Louis and at Illinois. I mean, this team. You want to talk about a battle tested team? Minnesota's that. I'm just.
Mm. How about LSU? They on watch today, Dan? They're going to Kentucky.
No. No. How about no? I mean, dude, Kentucky? So I had Kentucky second half the other night. I can't remember off the top of my head who they were playing. They looked good for, I think it was maybe Auburn off the top of my head. They looked good for literally 75% of that second half and then fell apart. This team finds ways to lose constantly. I know they're a 1.5-point favorite today. I know Kentucky's a 1.5-point favorite today. I would not lay my money on that side. I can't do it. Not against a good SEC team. Now, Kentucky's been 3-3 in the SEC. They've been better as of late. I don't care. LSU's coming off an ass-whooping to Alabama. They got embarrassed by 30 at home versus Alabama. I cannot imagine that this team's going to come out and lay a clunker today in Lexington. I just can't see it.
I can't either. And LSU has been a one-point. Every time I look at LSU, they're a one-point favorite or dog. Every game. And they're actually having a pretty good
season. It was Georgia, by the way. It was Georgia who Kentucky blew it to.
Good team, 9-4 so far this year.
You mother.
Matt's in Providence. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just heard you talking about the PC Friars today at Villanova. I'm a URI guy. You just got to really watch out for PC because they are terrible at the free throw line. But I had another question for you guys. And how are you kind of handicapping college basketball because the home team with their crowd, obviously, in all sports, obviously. But how are you guys handling this as far as how many points you're putting on? You know what I mean? Like equating for no crowd in the buildings, in these buildings that they're playing in.
I think it depends on where they're playing. And, you know, for instance, like Grand Canyon, who has like, you know, the amazing home court advantage, you know, most years. I mean, you have to basically completely take it away. But, you know, for a team like, not Duke this year, but like going into the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, I think you have to give a little something to Syracuse in that situation. I'm not asking for a lot. I think there needs to be a little something. But what I think you're going to see is a lot of these road teams, like, you know, like for instance, a Baylor. Baylor travels to Stillwater today versus Oklahoma State. Baylor's 8-point favorite. I mean, I think in that scenario, you're probably going to lean towards the home dog there, right? You're probably going to lean.
Yeah.
But I just think of that in a scenario like this, I'd take Baylor. I just think that it's hard to back the home dogs in these sort of situations that are, you know, not normal. Like Minnesota at home this year. You know what I mean? It's sort of the same situation. They've been battling.
I brought this up off the air, Dan, but, you know, Iowa at home versus Indiana. Iowa is one of the best scoring teams in the country, and Indiana, no fear, went in there and kicked their ass and outscored them second half, and it was something. But if there were actual fans in this game, like, it might have been some fans there, but oh, man. And I'll give you another thing, too. I just think that these college – it's like a lot of college football. Like, these – in college football, when a team's doing its first road game, you got to be wary about them. But I don't know, man. The place that you practice and then you play in a game, it's kind of like you know the rim, you know the spots, you know those areas. Sometimes you got to roll with that a little bit. You know, like I'll give you one today. Florida State's at home versus Clemson. To me, that's a slugfest. The total right now, 136. I go under already, just looking at it. But Florida State's 7-1 at home. And it's because that's where they practice. I mean, that's where they play their defense. That's where they set up everything. They're comfortable there. And they have a star that's a freshman. And he plays better at home than he does on the road.
They're also a massive home favorite today. They're 7-point home favorite versus that Clemson side.
I wouldn't take that. I like the under more than anything.
I definitely wouldn't take the Clemson. I mean, that feels trap city all over it.
I think Florida State's a hell of a defensive team that can score.
Clemson's also struggled their last few games. They put up 50 points home versus Virginia in
that 65. Virginia game that went over. I'm glad I hit that one last week.
And then 65 at Georgia Tech. I mean, Clemson has been not so great their last
game. And they're going to go on the road today against a team that's big, large, can trap you in the corners. And I forget the kid's name on Florida State. They have like a star freshman. He's good. I watched him play. Hit a bank three to win.
MJ Walker.
No, he's their star. Oh, wait, no, is it him?
I thought it was MJ Walker.
He's
a senior. I lied.
No, MJ Walker's their big senior. They have a kid that was a McDonald's All American that's number four. He's flying around out there, and he hit a bank shot to beat somebody.
Scotty Barnes.
Is that it?
Yes, Scotty Barnes. Yeah, Scotty Barnes is the freshman kid you're talking about.
But, they're a team that is deep. Let's take a quick break, Dan. We'll continue this college conversation here. We're going to talk to Luke from Prop Swap a little bit, find out what tickets we got this weekend, and get into these games in a bit. It's the Over-Under, DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5 The Sports Hubs, the DraftKings Over Under Show. Get some hoops going on, and then we'll get into this football games coming up in a minute here. Our buddy Dan is on the line. Hello, Dan.
What's going on, guys? I'm going to step a little out of my comfort zone today, and I want to talk about this Mississippi State-Alabama game. Now, Mississippi State, they're 9-6 overall. They're 7-8 against the spread. Bama's 12-3, 10-4-1 against the spread. The line right now is 11. Mississippi State, they're 1-1 against the spread away, and Bama's 5-2 at home. Now, Mississippi, they lost to Ole Miss 46-64, but Bama just absolutely crushed LSU 105-75. I only found one interesting trend. Joe, I know you probably saw it as well. Mississippi State are 5-0 against the spread the last five games when their opponent scores 100 points or more in the previous games. I only see Mississippi State. They're struggling to put up at least 70. I kind of want to take Mississippi State, but I kind of want to stay away. What are you guys' thoughts here?
Home teams 8-0 against the spread the last eight meetings. Alabama right now, dude, I don't know if I want to fade them. They're hot.
I mean, Mississippi State, the line opened 14. So, I mean, at this point, you're taking a massive disadvantage if you take Mississippi State. It's still taking Alabama at 11 feels like a tough side to get behind, at least for me personally. I wouldn't want to back Alabama coming off that performance.
What about the over?
I don't really have a feel on the total yet. I'd have to actually look into the total. But based on the side, I would tell you don't play that game. You missed the number on Mississippi State. If you wanted Mississippi State, you probably needed at least 13.
Right.
Bama's hot, dude.
Yeah,
one of the best team. I mean, one of the best teams I've seen this year. They have a hell of a freshman too.
Yeah, they're hard to fade right now. I mean, they're seriously hard to fade.
And it was funny, right? A couple of weeks ago, we tried the Alabama partying with the team factor, and where they end up like winning by 30 or something 30, like that.
Dude, yeah, I mean, even in those situations, you can't fade them.
I don't love Mississippi State in this spot. I'll be honest with you. But the over looks good.
Right,
141,
I think, right?
149. Nine now, yeah. But it means you got to get a lot of points from Alabama. And you got to get something from. But, yeah, generally the favorite, like 16-5 against spread last point, the favorite in the home team is generally has been the successor in that matchup.
All right, guys.
All right, dude. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, that is Dan, the mailman.
When you have, normally when I have like a big spread like that and the number is significantly moved, it's hard for me to want to jump on like the movement and back the dog in that situation. I think you got to get that number pretty early, especially if you want to make bet against a team like Alabama. The bigger the number, the better, because losing 3 points of CLV, it's not the end of the world, but I'm not going to ride the dog just because it's trendy. That's all.
What do you think about this UConn-Creighton game today?
I mean, I think it's a really good game. I just wonder what UConn is without Bouknight. I mean, they lost to St. John's at home without him, and they weren't great versus DePaul. I look at this team and say I don't think that UConn is the same UConn team we saw earlier in the season. That being said,
yeah, Bouknight's got 40 on them, I think, right?
What?
Bouknight scored, 40 points against Creighton. Yeah.
Yeah. Did. Yeah, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Bouknight's done for the season. So, or at least I believe out indefinitely. Yeah. So probably
they beat Butler and DePaul, but this is a different team.
Yeah, I think without Bouknight, UConn's going to struggle to score. Creighton, although, Joe, I faded them against Butler, was it last weekend, I think? Butler not only covered that game, won outright. And then they lost to Providence too at home. They were big faves in that one. I mean, Creighton certainly is not, playing well either. That being said, I think I still lay the points with Creighton rather than take UConn without.
Dan Hurley mentioned, I quote, I'm seeing it somewhere, but he was like, "We're not going to win games that's played in the 70s, with the offensive limitations they have." I think Creighton's going to score 70.
I do too. I think UConn's gonna have to. I think UConn's gonna have to be put in an uncomfortable position to score points if they want to beat Creighton. Mm. I wouldn't be shocked if that game went over, honestly, just because of the fact that Creighton will probably score 65, 75 points, right in that area, and UConn's legitimately gonna have to play catch up and play an unorthodox offensive style if they want to beat Creighton.
All right, get your tickets out. Who's got tickets? Who wants to bet on some of these? Because this is interesting, Dan, the whole prop swap thing this week, right? It's square or value at this point. Square or value, there are tickets out there. And we'll talk with Luke Pregondi. He's from Prop Swap. We talked to him last week. We'll get his thoughts of everything that's happening this week. He predicted Bucks would win. You want to get a little intel on him today?
He did.
Let's see what he's got out there, because I still haven't made my bets yet, Dan. I still haven't made my bets, but I think I know where I'm going to land. But all right, we'll talk with Luke Pregondi coming up next from Prop Swap.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
right, back here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. I want to make some dough this week. Pulling up my DraftKings Sports Book and Casino app right now. There's this thing called McGregor Poirier tonight. Have you heard about this?
I have.
So, Dan, you got your fun of UFC.
Yep.
You had your taste.
Anyway, I mean, again, I think the sport is fantastic to watch. I think if you're trying to bet on it, it's impossible.
That's why I love gambling on it. No, you're right. The judges during that pandemic.
I would rather take my money and light it on fire in front of your face. I can't do it. There's no reason. I mean, I think you know, every once in a while you can find a fight like Khabib versus like McGregor a few years ago. The whole role was on Conor, and I was on Khabib. Like, I think there's definitely fights that you can, but for the most part, nope. I would rather burn my money in front of my face.
All right. Speaking of burning money. I would love to make a case for Dustin Poirier. He's 10-2 since the last time he fought McGregor. He has wins over some of the best fighters, Geechee, you name them. McGregor literally got in his head the last fight, taunted him.
I know.
He got under his skin.
It
really affected him. I mean, it was bad. 305, dude? -305? To win $100, it's juicy. I'd stay off that. I would try to go. So I feel over one. All right, ready? PP?
Yep.
Over 1.5 rounds -139. I think it goes at least a round. McGregor hasn't fought in a year. A year. Now, listen, I've said that before, and he knocked the guy out in 5 seconds.
Yep.
Okay? But I'm trying to find value. Would you rather bet on -135 to get into the second round with the time? Don't forget the time. You got to get the time. It can't just get past the first round. It needs to get into the second round and have 2 minutes.
Halfway through the second round.
Yes.
It's not like other sports. It's weird.
Because I'll never, ever forget rookie better. Right? Now, I'm not even rookie better. But I bet that damn McGregor, Floyd Mayweather fight. And I'm like, yep, over 6 rounds. Yeah, okay, we got this one. And I'm pumped. I'm high-fiving my boys. And I find out I lost. And I'm like, what the hell? I even called the book. He goes, dude, you get through the time. It's like, he's like, what are you, a rookie? And I'm like, I was pissed. Funny how that happened like that, Dan, though. It was like, what, 6 seconds, a little... Oh, and the ref stopped that fight. Never mind. Okay, we're not going to go there today. Not going to go there. Bad beats. But I think McGregor... I
mean, it's not really a bad beat. You just didn't know the time rule.
So, again, if for me, I like over 1.5. I think McGregor wins. You could take McGregor to win by knockout. How about that? -190. Do you see any value in that, Dan?
Nope.
Nope.
That number was -145 to open. It's now -190. You are getting a horrendously bad number there.
Okay. If you bet McGregor to win in the first round, it's +150.
That was +187. The value is gone. If you want to bet on McGregor, the value is gone. Gone.
Round two.
Straight up gone.
How about this? Round two decision, +325.
Open at 450. God, don't bother.
Yeah, but I want it to go over 1.5.
That's fine, but don't bother wasting your money on that.
This is plus money, though.
Great. It doesn't mean it's not waste. You've already lost over $1 of value. It's gone. If you wanted to bet on Conor McGregor, the time was a couple weeks ago. It's over. There is no value left on the board. Now, I'm sure there's going to be a million people who bet on McGregor. I'm sure he's going to win. And they'll be like, oh, who cares about value of wins? That is true.
Oh,
but on this, no. You are burning it.
I'm rooting for Poirier so bad. Because you know what he's going to do, right, McGregor? He's going to win tonight. And then he's going to fight Manny Pacquiao. And he's going to get like a huge payday. I don't know. I mean, I still think Pacquiao can throw down. I still think Pacquiao can, like, you know, throw multiple jabs and See what happens there. Guy throws a million punches a minute. But yeah, I interested to see how this one goes tonight. We were going to talk to Luke Pregondi from Prop Swap. We gave him a wake up call. he could be confused because when I talked to our guy yesterday and I said, well, should we do it midweek? Because next week's the off week for the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
So like, is it worth having him on next week because of the tickets?
Maybe we'll do next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Maybe Luke needed his beauty sleep. He's a West Coast
guy.
I just wanted
to share these, though. There's a couple of good ones here. $1,500 today, Dan. You can collect $4,600 with a Chiefs-Bucks exact matchup.
I can't imagine that that's better than a money line.
No, I think it's $475 at my book. No, that's Bills. That's Bills Chiefs. So I don't think you can get.
I guess that actually would. That's 2.1-1 odds. That's actually pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Compared to yeah.
And I know I there was a there's a bunch of I know you don't like these parlays, teasers.
Hate them.
But they have a bunch on that. And then I saw this one. I don't know if there's any value here. Packers to win the NFL championship. Right now, $150 is the highest bid. Win $500.
By the way, a Chiefs Bucks money line parlay pays out 3.3. It is not worth it.
So if you put 1,000, you win 3,300, but this one gets you 46.
Yeah, but you're paying 1,500 for the
ticket. Well, that's true. Yeah,
so that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you got to be careful with these matchup tickets, dude. Like I'm telling you, we talked about it early in the week. The matchups, if you're betting a matchup ticket instead of betting a money line parlay, which by the way, I don't recommend you do. But if you want to, don't bet the matchup because the matchup values actually decrease the value, which is crazy that people don't look into that first. But like, for instance, the Chiefs Packers. Exact meetup is +130, but it pays out +155.
Mm.
So the matchup plays terrible value. Maybe the worst value on the board.
Mm.
You're literally losing value instead of just doing a money line parlay.
Dan, I've been informed that 1 year ago today we found out we're getting a show.
Oh, interesting.
Because we started the week after the championship. So I think we did the first week, and then we did Super Bowl.
Wow.
So 1 year, beginning next week, maybe we'll have a party. Should I bring the air fryer?
Can I come?
I was going to say, Tuck, what do you
I'll
want
bring
the
blender.
Oh. You bring the blender.
The blender.
Dan can bring
Parfaits.
And, yeah, we can cook up cinnamon raisin bagels.
I feel like a parfait in an air fryer would go horribly.
What else can we bring? Pop-Tarts. We could throw those in there. What else can we throw in there in the morning?
Talk. What are you thinking of air frying?
Oh, Eggos. Maybe Eggos throw in the air fryer.
Can you air fry an egg?
Yeah.
You can air fry some bacon.
Oh yeah, we can.
Wait, why is this a breakfast
thing? Sausages.
Why is this breakfast?
I mean, it's.
I mean, we're here at 7 a.m.
What do you want to eat?
Oh, I
don't know. What do you want? Like,
you guys are talking about a party.
Oh.
Okay. How can you have a party during a show?
Tuck wants like a real party.
Oh.
He wants to like go out.
I got some beer this week.
I want to get the hell out of the house. That's what I want to do.
All right, Tuck. Encore.
Dude.
Let's go to the encore.
I'm going to tell you now that these laws have been lifted. Like, you know, we couldn't go out past 9:30 anymore.
Hmm.
Now we can.
What is the new time?
Ooh, I don't know. Is it midnight?
9:35.
I don't know, but you know how many times it's been sad. I live north, and I know we got to go to break here. But when I come home from Boston, sometimes I go Route 1. Well, you know, when I want a late night snack, I sometimes might stop at the Kowloon restaurant. But now when I go by it after 10 o'clock, it's not open, and it's really odd.
What are you doing out that late, Joe?
I'm working. I work late night shifts sometimes.
Interesting.
Dan works late night shifts too.
I mean, not anymore.
No?
I mean, I'm here. What? You mean here?
Yeah, here.
Yeah, well, I'm with Jones on Tuesdays.
So you work late night
shifts? I do Tuesdays.
Yeah. Well, something late night on the way home.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not doing the midnight to 6 a.m. anymore.
Mm.
That was the worst.
For those that cared, I made pasta. And nothing crazy, Tucker. I'm the cavatappi poppy.
Wait, in the air fryer?
I boiled pasta like I was going to make a pasta, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got one of those little, like, things you put in the oven there. What do you call them? Like a little hot plate. And I put the pasta in there.
You put a lot of things in the oven, Joe.
Well, see, in the air fryer, you can't put, like, a plate in there. You have to, like, put, like, a, you know, a oven plate. So I put a pasta, cavatappi pasta, in this little skillet thing.
Yeah.
Sprinkled it with cheese, you know?
Yeah, let it melt.
Put it in the air fryer for 7 minutes.
Ooh, that's a long time. How'd it come out?
Came out like baked macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
Put some buffalo sauce on that bad boy.
All right.
Little buffalo sauce.
You've never had buffalo sauce on mac and cheese, Tuck?
No, on mac and cheese, yeah, but yeah, he's making like straight up pasta.
Buffalo mac and cheese.
Yeah, it's buffalo mac and cheese.
Well, you made mac and cheese.
Buffalo mac and cheese.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
I got thrown off by the pasta thing.
Well, mac and cheese. Pasta and cheese is mac and cheese.
No, right? I know.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You need to add like some cream or some other stuff in there.
Well, anyways, I put it in the air fryer and it was spectacular. So try it out, everybody. All right, let's get the headlines.
Who you got? Guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I love the dough more than you know. Gonna let it show. I love the dough, Dan. We get to make some money, kid. Let's make some money.
Sorry, I'm focused on fighting with Sean Silver right now.
Oh, jeez.
I'm fighting with
Sean. Is this about Tristan Thompson?
It is about Tristan Thompson.
Oh, jeez.
Will the Celtics fans and media stop defending this guy? He sucks. Jeez.
Well,
he's not good. Listen, has not played a single good game this year.
The Celtics are not worth betting on right now.
He's not good.
I know you guys want to bet the Celtics, but they're just not good.
Miles Turner is a defensive player of the year candidate, leads the league in blocks, and is playing elite defense.
See,
Can we stop defending Tristan Thompson and Danny Ainge?
Can I bring something back?
My God.
I will give you that argument over the Gordon Hayward argument. I will give you the Miles Turner argument.
Fine.
Thank you. Yes.
You won. Fine. Okay. Fine.
I will give you.
The Celtics suck without Gordon Hayward. They're not playing well without him, but they're definitely not better with Tristan Thompson. He sucks.
He's not good enough.
I love you, Sean Silver, with all my heart, but for the love of God, you guys got to stop defending Tristan Thompson.
The Celtics could have just got Dougie McBuckets and Miles Turner and moved on.
And a first round pick.
And moved on. Did you read this article this weekend? It has nothing to do with gambling once again.
God.
Do you know that how many NBA teams are without first round picks for this year and next year? 15 teams in the NBA own a first round pick. Think about that for a second. 15 teams own a first round pick?
I mean, you want to know why? It's because teams are recognizing that the end of the draft is becoming less and less and less valuable by the year.
True.
How many
picks do you think Oklahoma City has?
What's the difference between 19 and like 38, honestly? Is there really that much of a difference anymore? There's not, because if you want to move up, you just move up.
No.
It's not that hard.
I mean, I guess you're right. If you look at Neesmith to Pritchard, Neesmith should have the most upside, but I don't know right now. But yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy. Anyways, the value in the NBA, though, being real, it's everyone at the top right now, and in the end, it's going to be the Lakers. I'm telling you, I've watched.
I'm sorry, you were on the Clippers last year.
Last year I was on the Clippers.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I lost. Just, how'd that work out?
Not well.
I lost.
It's okay.
And then when the finals came, what'd I do? I took the Lakers.
You don't think the Clippers can win this year? I mean, I no. I wouldn't be shy. Midway through the season, people will be back on the Clippers.
No.
Clippers train.
No, no, I'm done. I'm done.
The Nets are 9-8. You still think they're coming out of the East?
I think the Nets win the East.
I do, too.
I want to bet that. What is it? Do we got that future on that?
Squarely. They're like, I
don't 140 know, or something.
Yeah, it's low. They were actually, like, they were open at minus money the other night. I'll see if I can find it. There's no futures on
it. Yeah, I liked the Clippers last year. I thought that Kawhi and, man, what happened to them? Was it Doc? Maybe it was Doc. I don't know. I don't know what happened with them.
Maybe Kawhi and Doc just weren't weren't a good mix.
You know? Because, like, the other guy, Nick Nurse, probably was just like, hey, Nick, let me handle this. Kind of like Bruce Arians said that, you know, one thing that's different here is we let Tom Brady coach our guys. He couldn't do that in New England.
All right, let's get into football. Let's
how about that one?
Let's get into those comments.
Gronk thinks that this is the best defense he's ever played on.
Offense,
whatever.
I mean, I can't really give Gronk crap for that. I mean, they have Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate. They have two. I mean, Leonard Fournette's been, you know, surprisingly pretty good.
Ronald Jones runs the hardest I've ever seen.
I mean, dude, outside of the offensive line, which is absolutely crap, by the way, outside of that, they've been really, really good. I'm not going to get mad at Gronk for saying it's the best offense he's ever been a part of. I don't necessarily agree with it.
I mean, the one thing with me is just like, what's he going to say? No, it's really not the best offense. Going into the NFC Championship game, of course he's got to say that.
I have no problem with what Gronk said.
Who cares?
But I will say this. I think this is the best team Gronk's ever been on. Offensively.
Yeah, it's not far-fetched either.
I mean, 2014 was probably the best offense for the Pats. He wasn't even here in 07.
I know.
So, yeah, this is the best team he's ever played on. I mean, think about Gronk. Gronk started slow and then turned it on.
They had Gronk, Hernandez. Didn't they have Welker for a year or two?
Welker. Well?
And, I mean, that's...
No, I think it was LaFell, Gronk, Edelman.
Okay, either way...
This is the best team he's ever played on.
Either way, Gronk Hernandez and Edelman. Gronk Hernandez and Edelman is probably a better trio than Evans, Brown, Godwin at this point. So I think you can say that's categorically not true, especially when it comes to the offensive line and what Brady used to be. I think you can make a very strong argument that it's not true. But I can also understand why you would make that argument.
So, Gronk in the last meeting versus the Packers, when Tampa Bay won 38-10. Earlier this year, Gronk, 5 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown, had a 31-yard touchdown. So
the Packers fell apart that game. If you guys remember, they were up 10-0, and they fell apart.
So what changes here? Look at this line for Aaron Rodgers. 16-35, 160 yards. He averaged 4 yards a throw. He had 2 interceptions and got sacked 4 times. His QBR was 12. Holy crap.
It was a bad game.
Now, Brady threw 2 touchdowns, wasn't sacked, only threw 466 yards. Blaine Gabbert came in, actually. But what I see here is Ronald Jones rushed for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I do think that if Tampa Bay is going to win this game, it has to be on the ground. It's not going to be on the air. It's not going to be through the air. Antonio Brown's out. Tuck, feel free to jump in here. To me, this is a Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette game, and I'm worried about Fournette. He basically openly talked about this week how he hates the cold, and doesn't like playing in the cold.
Yeah, he's been a very good receiving back. I have to give him credit for that. Fournette's been known as an in between the tackles guy, goal line guy. He's been the best pass catching receiver they've had. I actually give him. He caught that touchdown last week. Which he almost bobbled, but
that was not a catch, by the way.
I actually, you know what's funny?
I don't think
I watched that thing like 5 times, and I'm like, they're not reviewing this.
Yeah, it was weird. It was pretty close to not being a catch.
Yeah.
I think you could make a case either way.
But I give him credit though. Like third down, Leonard Fournette. It didn't seem right. It's odd, you know, considering his career.
It was a good call by whoever made it over there. Whether it was Brady, whether it was Arians, whether it was. I'm blanking on the front office guy there. It was former Jason Licht. Whoever it was a good call.
So what changes here? What changes? The fact that they're in Green Bay?
In Green Bay, in the cold weather. Now, again, I do think that while Brady has played very well in cold weather, we know he played in New England. This is not something crazy. But just in general, his team in cold weather this year, the two coldest games of the year, that Washington game, I thought the team, I thought they played any, almost any other team and not a four-string quarterback. They get spanked.
I just thought Brady was the team was beneath Brady in that game. Brady could Brady was why they won.
The other game that they played in cold weather,
the Giants one.
The Giants.
Yeah, and that came down
horrendously.
That came
bad.
Down to a 2-point. Yeah, because they didn't cover, and I was pissed.
They got blown out in the first half. I mean, it was like
yeah. They came back to win,
and they and
by they were up eight. And
the refs gave them a touchdown that game. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Oh, so, I remember it was Thursday Night Football.
Yeah. So
then they lost the next week to Chicago, I believe.
Yeah. That Mike Evans had a touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. They should not even had the ball for. The Bucs got very lucky that game. I feel like in those two games, the other thing is that, Joe, both those games, the offenses, in my opinion, didn't play very well. Now, the Bucs offense played very well in the second half versus Washington, especially in that fourth quarter. But just in general, I didn't think their offense was great that game.
Yeah, Brady, 166 yards against 17 of 27, zero sacks. That has to change. Look what that Brett Packers front line did last week. Now, is that a Jared Goff thing? Is that a bad Rams offensive line? Or is their defensive line playing at an all-time high right now? And I don't love the Bucs offensive line, I'll be honest with you.
I mean, I was going to say, I think the Bucs offensive line played fantastic last week. They were really, really good. Expecting a similar performance is going to be really tough, and I think the Packers' defensive line is playing the best football they've played all season. That being said, and we were kind of talking about it's really tough to it's really, really tough to, you know, replicate the success over and over again, you know, for a team who just wasn't good at defending the run. And I feel like Green Bay has been a pretty good run stopping team the past few weeks, at least in my opinion. The way to beat Green Bay is through possession of the ball, giving it to Ronald Jones, giving it to Leonard Fournette, and beating them up. That would be my game plan if I'm Bruce Arians.
Yep, you're right. 10-0. They scored 4 second quarter touchdowns, and that was it. Blew them out the rest of the game. Aaron Rodgers couldn't do a thing. I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback remaining in the playoffs right now. You can argue Mahomes, and we don't know what Mahomes will see. We'll get into that in a minute. I'm going to circle this. I think Ronald Jones could be the difference in this game. And Rob Gronkowski. The fact he had 5 and 78 and he wasn't right yet, like this might have been his breakout game.
I just think they're using Gronk as a blocker right now.
He's been awesome. He had a block last week, dude. It was, who was it?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Dude hit him straight on, dead on, and Gronk stood him straight up in the air. And, like, that's one thing. When Rob Gronkowski, it's all said and done, no one will remember that about him, right? They're going to be like, the guy was great. Nobody could take him down. He was fast. He spiked it. No, he was the best blocker in the game.
He's the best. I still think he's a top five blocking tight end.
Yeah, I mean, it's not far-fetched that you could sneak off for a touchdown in this game, you know, at the goal line or something like that, but they've primarily been using him over the past 3-4 games as a blocking tight end.
He's going to be a factor this week, I do.
He'll be a factor in the blocking in the run game.
I agree with Tucker there. I don't think he's going to be effective in the pass game. I think he's hurt.
Let's get some player props going, baby.
Okay, so
let's get the Gronk player prop. I'm telling you right now, you guys could be absolutely right. He'll be he should be a force in the blocking game. He had 5 catches, 78 yards for a touchdown in the last meeting. Makes me think that they can exploit the linebackers with Gronk. And if it's not him, it's going to be Brate or somebody else.
He just doesn't look good, dude. I don't think Gronk has been playing very well the past few weeks in terms of the offense. I think he's fine as a blocker, but I think that, again, I look at him and I say he kind of reminds me of the Rob Gronkowski of his final year in New England, at least offensively, going out to catch Pat. He looks done. I mean, Brady missed him on the touchdown pass last week, and I didn't think it was Brady. I think Gronk just couldn't get there. Like, it was in the corner of the end zone. Gronk just couldn't get there. you know, early in the season, I think Gronk gets the ball and makes that catch. I just think he's done, dude. Like, but as a blocker, I think he's going to be huge. So I would play unders on Gronk props. I would play all unders on Gronk props.
I'll get you Gronk props coming up here on the other side. And look at the total on the side. And we'll get into all that coming up next. And let's not forget, we got the Bills and the Chiefs. And what's the status of Patrick Mahomes? Says he's going to play. Is he healthy? We'll talk about that next.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. I just got rocked. Found out Larry King just passed away. I'm Larry King, and this is the Bankroll Boys. I just crapped my pants. I was a big fan of Larry King. Wow, huh?
87.
How old?
87.
Damn, him and Hank Aaron, huh? Oh, no. Who's next?
It's been a brutal
couple
of years.
Dude, no. 2020, bad. 2021 hasn't been a great start either.
There's nothing big about 2021.
2021's going to be my year, man. Yeah. We're still 2 weeks into, out of, like, well, 3 weeks now, maybe, out of 2021. Anyways, you want that Gronk prop?
Yeah, I have some for you, too, if you want.
So I have the receptions.
Yep. So...
Rob Gronkowski over under 2.5 catches in this game.
Where do you have the line?
DraftKings has -125 over.
There you go. There you go. Everyone's going to be on the over this week for Gronk. You want to know his receiving yards prop is?
35.
30. 30.5 yards. Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's a championship game. I just feel like these big time players play in these big games. Win or lose, I think he performs. I can't. I'll go back to that Chiefs game from years ago. I'll go back to the Denver when they lost and it was just Brady Gronk down the field. It came down to a 2-point conversion. Big time players perform in big games. I think Rob Gronkowski is going to have a bet. I don't know. Name a Packer that's going to cover Gronk. I don't know. And if it's not him, it's Brady. I think,
well, that's the thing is, like, you say if it's not him, it's Brady. They've been going to Brady.
No, that's what I mean. No, I hear you.
Right.
I think Gronk, I'm going Gronk, guys. I'm telling you. I'm going over 2.5 Gronk. I'll PP it if you want me to.
I mean,
Gronk is going to make an impact in this game offensively through the air and catching the football. It's my opinion.
That's fair.
You can disagree with it.
I strongly disagree.
I think that in these big time games, big time players like him perform. I've seen it time. We've seen it how many times? I'm going with it again.
Even when
Gronk was a shell of himself, he still performed.
Do you guys remember Gronkowski ever having a big game in the AFC Championship?
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs game had a catch to probably down to the goal line to win the game.
Yeah, that. But,
it was an overtime.
Right. That was yeah. One game, and that was like.
How about the Denver Broncos AFC Championship game?
He was terrible in those games. What are you talking about?
They came down to the final play of the game on a 2-point conversion. Are you kidding me?
And he did.
Did you watch the games?
I did.
Gronkowski is a gamer. Like, he's like one of the big time situation players of the, like, ever.
No, in the Super Bowl he was hurt. He didn't.
Yeah, he had a bad ankle in a Super Bowl.
Okay, so dude, he's hurt right now. It's very clear he's not 100%.
I'm going Gronk. You can disagree with me all you want. My money is on the big time player.
All right, his last few games, last week, one catch. Week prior, no catches.
Yep.
Week prior, two catches, three catches, one catch.
Great. Yep. And he's going to wake up in a championship game.
Based off what? Dude.
History, man.
Unders, props or unders?
It's my opinion. You can disagree with it.
All right.
It's fine.
I just don't
I PP'd it. Ring the bell.
All right. Hit me.
That's my opinion.
I got you. I just don't see where Gronk being what he was six years ago.
That's great. It's Joe's opinion.
That's fair.
It's my opinion. You don't think so? I do. Let's move on.
Okay. Okay.
I think big time play. Devontae Adams, I think he's going to have a big day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Devontae Adams is going to have a big day.
What are his props at? Do we know?
He's at 7.5 once again.
Over.
Had six catches in the last meeting.
So, okay, but I'm going to. props are underplays, guys. I mean, I'm going to say this again because what happens is now everyone. Who do you think that Tampa's going to focus their defense on?
Probably Mike Evans and Godwin.
No, Tampa's defense.
Oh, Tampa's defense?
Yeah, Devontae.
Devontae. But I think
Rams last week
is somebody
too.
They should worry about.
I just think like the thing is when I go props, when you look at props, everyone is always playing overs. You're not playing unders because you're not trying to find the guy who's going to struggle. You're always playing overs. So, like, a guy like Devon, I don't know. Just the way I would
approach it. Aaron Jones had three catches for a 20-yard, like, had a 20-yarder in the last meeting. Like, maybe him out of the backfield might be somebody to look at. You know, like, I don't know. I would take a shot at, like, is St. Brown playing? He's the guy that I might look at. Scantling had a decent game in the last meeting between the two. So Gronk had 5 catches, 78 in the last meeting. Godwin had 5 for 48. Evans did nothing. Had 1 for 10. That's it. Tyler Johnson had a catch in that game. Scotty Miller had 1 catch. Cameron Brate had 1 catch. So, like, you know, the big-time performers in the game were Rojo and Rob Gronkowski and Godwin. I think they're going to go back to the formula that worked. I think Gronk's going to get involved offensively. Just my opinion.
That's fun. I would go under. I would go under on Gronk. Pretty much, again, in a game like this where I think it's going to be an under game, I don't think the offense is going to be big. I think if you're looking for overs, it's going to be in the rushing yards prop. You're looking at the Leonard Fournette, 44.5. The Ronald Jones at 36.5. You want to talk about?
Oh, pound that
okay,
over.
Okay, yeah, there you go. So I mean that would be something that I would be looking for in terms of value. Exactly, Doug. So that would be something I'd be looking for in an overplay. I just think that. What happens is when you play these props, everyone's playing overs. Like there's almost no money on unders most of the time because everyone's always on overs.
What's the Aaron Jones yardage?
Let's see. Aaron Jones is 61.5 on the ground, which is really low, which makes sense. I mean, with the Bucks front seven, it's just
I stay away from that.
Like the Rodgers rushing prop, which I know has been a really big over prop for a lot of bettors, is 10.5 this week. Same thing with, you know, like with, for instance, the Chris Godwin receiving prop this week, 69.5 yards compared to, when was the last time Godwin got over 70 yards?
I'll look it up.
It's probably been a couple weeks.
Over 70 yards, against Washington.
Well, you had Washington? Okay.
Yeah, 79. Okay. And then the week prior, 133, 84.
Wow, he has played well recently.
Just last week, he only had 34.
What about Aaron Rodgers over 1.5 touchdowns?
I think he'd probably be laying a lot of money on that.
230.
Yeah, see, but I would never.
Brady's 200 for 1.5.
I think when you're again, that would be an under for me.
Now over 2.5 is plus 130.
I have Brady 2.5 plus 140 here, and Rodgers 2.5 plus 115. I still think it's going to be an under game, so I wouldn't feel. I probably wouldn't be taking overs on touchdown props, for me at least in this game.
We have Colin on the line. What's going on, Colin?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Colin?
I called in a couple of weeks ago with some degenerate college basketball picks, and I have another one for today. I wanted to share at 6:00. It's Texas Southern at Arkansas Pine Bluff, and I like Pine Bluff plus 10. They're 2-0 against the spread at home this year, and I think there's a little value there.
And this is at 6:00 tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, Pine Bluff has been a bad team for a long, long time, but they're 3-10 this year, and but they're 2-2 in the SWAC. So, I mean, at least they've been better in conference play. Didn't they just get blown out by Southern the other day, though?
They did.
Okay.
Where did you find them? Why do you like this game?
I mean, I just think from the numbers that I've been looking at, I think that Pine Bluff is not as bad at home as their records shows. They've been doing better in conference, like Dan said, and coming off the big loss, I think they're due for a rebound.
The trend, underdog 5-2 last 7 meetings.
I'm trying to take a look here. Yeah, so what? Here's the problem with Pine Bluff looking at their home record. One of their wins was versus Mississippi Valley, who is probably the worst team in D1. It's either them or Chicago State. And Mississippi Valley, they beat by 40. I mean, Mississippi Valley is bad, but they did beat Alabama State their next home game. They have only played 3 home games all year. Two home games. This is it. It's just Mississippi Valley and Alabama State. Their other home game got postponed. Wow, that's crazy. Thanks for the call, Colin. I appreciate it.
Yep, and they covered both of them, and I think that's going to continue.
Thanks, Colin. I appreciate it. That's crazy.
Thanks, bud. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, man. Love those Arkansas Pine Bluff. Forgot they even existed.
13 games, 2 games at home. How does that happen to a team? It's brutal.
Real quick, our buddy Bill checks in. Likes Lazard over 4 receptions for +120.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning toward Lazard, too.
I don't think Lazard played in the last meeting.
Yeah, he did. He's had some case of the drops, but he's still getting the targets.
I didn't see. Yeah, no targets in the last meeting.
What?
Yeah. Adams, Scantling.
He was hurt. He had the core injury. Remember, Lazard was out for like 6-7 weeks this year.
Wait, what are you talking about, Joe?
I'm looking at the last meeting between the two teams.
Oh, between the two teams. I rule that out. I rule that out. It's the playoffs. Different animal. Different animal.
No.
He had 8 targets against the Rams.
Yeah. That's why he's
week
one of
prior, he was hurt.
Yeah. No, I put a lot of stock into the last meeting. I think that's why I'm using Rob Gronkowski as a.
It's too
early. Once again, I'm going to say this one more time.
No, it's fine.
Our analysis and breakdowns, right? Like, I feel in a big game that Rob Gronkowski, for the last 3 weeks, all he's done is block. He had one target last week that Brady threw over his head that he could have caught, but Brady overthrew it. I feel like he's going to break out this week. He had a great game against them the last time they played. I don't think they have a linebacker that can cover him. I don't. Just like the last meeting. So I feel that Rob Gronkowski is going to have a big day tomorrow.
You don't think Kirksey can cover him? He's the best coverage linebacker.
I think Rob Gronkowski.
Do you see if you're talking about last meeting? Do you really think that the Packers are going to put up 10 points tomorrow?
No, but okay, like, then. Are they going to rush the ball for more than 84 yards?
It's a more competitive
team. Is Aaron Jones going to run the football better? How do you have to look at the previous matchups?
No, you don't.
No,
you don't. It's the playoffs, Joe.
I know it's the playoffs.
You're still building a team at that point. That's so early.
They went up 10-0 and gave up 4 touchdowns in the second quarter. Do I think that's going to happen tomorrow? No. But you do have to look at things that worked last time.
Barely.
I think you also have to look at the recent performance, and we just kind of talked about it off air. Brady was good last week. I thought that, and as we said, he did his job when they had turnovers. But outside of that, he wasn't very good. He didn't have these long drives. He didn't have the classic Brady drive that you needed to, you know, go 99 yards and score. He was good off the turnovers, and I think that was what, you know, was really important.
I like to back guys that have done very well in playoffs, and I think Rob Gronkowski's done very well in the playoffs. I'll leave it at that. We'll see what happens. When the game happens tomorrow, and if he does nothing, you guys can, hey, Joe, you suck, da-da-da.
No.
But Rob Gronkowski, though, I don't know. Last playoff, in a full season of playoff games, 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns. Pretty good.
He's not that guy anymore.
God, I'm gonna kill you both.
you're basing it off last. But he's not even the same guy who was week 6. He looks dead.
Okay.
He looks. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you that tomorrow.
Okay.
He's gonna break out.
All right. All right. How about this?
How about this?
Oh, if Brock breaks out next week, doing the Rob Gronkowski,
you know,
Joe Murray victory lap.
Yes. And you know what? The worst possible scenario could happen tomorrow as well. The Buffalo Bills could go to the Super Bowl. It will ruin Dan Lipschitz's life. And we'll talk about that coming up next.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lipschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right.
Final segment here. DraftKings over under show. Lots of opinions in here today. Oh, you betting them back there, Tucker?
Bet what?
Any? Are you fading any of these? Any of these picks I'm throwing out there?
I just not really on board with the Gronk one, but I can understand why you take.
Would you
the
go under then? Would you bet the under?
I just personally, I would stay away from that one. But if I had to take a side, I would lean under.
How about the last meeting between the Chiefs and the Bills?
I think it's hard to put a ton of stock into that. Can we say that there's? It's hard to put a lot of stock into that matchup. At least,
that was one of the Tuesday COVID games, right? Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
So that's a factor.
Do you know what happened in that game?
The Bills got absolutely destroyed.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushed for 161 yards.
Another factor, because I don't think he's playing tomorrow.
Is he going to play?
I don't.
Questionable.
Yeah, he's game time to say. I doubt it.
It's the closest he's been to playing in a while. But
I'll tell you, I think
even if he plays, I don't know.
I think they need him.
Oh, they definitely need him. They definitely need him.
So I don't think they need him. I'll just say this off the bat. If the Buffalo Bills win tomorrow, Dan Lipschitz will be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be wrong about so many things.
Yep.
McDermott, Josh Allen.
Yep.
You name it.
Yep.
It's not good for you.
Nope.
I
think I'm already wrong about those. It just gets more wrong. I think that's different.
The last meeting, Josh Allen threw for 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception.
I would go, if you're offering that as a prop, I will go over that.
Do you know that the Buffalo Bills could not run the football on the Chiefs? Devin Singletary had 10 carries for 32 yards.
I'm not really that surprised about that, actually.
Now, Diggs had a big day. Beasley had a big day. They had no other third, they didn't have a third receiver that day. Like Gabriel Davis, nowhere to be found. I think that's the key for tomorrow. You know, the Chiefs always come up with, you know, it's Kelce, it's Hill. They need that third guy. Like, is Sammy Watkins playing tomorrow?
I think he's questionable. But again, even if he is, it's not going to be 100%.
But then they'll find a guy like Pringle out of nowhere.
Hardman.
You know
what I mean? Hardman.
Hardman's another dude.
Robinson. Like, yep. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, Le'Veon Bell will have, like, his big game. You know what I mean? Like, they always pull a dude. Like, there's always a third guy who ends up exploding out of that offense.
But, yeah, but just going back to the last meeting, though. The story was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was the story. Granted, it was a COVID week. You got to throw it out the window. The two teams are meeting tomorrow. Based off what we've seen, Josh Allen needs to continue to move in the pocket like he has and find Stephon Diggs. If we look at it, like, is there a defensive back that can truly stay with Diggs? No. Now, Matthew's been all over the field, and I think I'm curious what Matthews can do. You know,
they'll probably double cover the Diggs on a bunch of plays, and then
okay, I think he'll still get open.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's all up to Josh Allen. I think this is a winnable game for Buffalo Bills. I think it's a winnable game.
Diggs, by the way, also 7.5 receptions tomorrow. That's his prop.
He had 6 in the last meeting. So I think the third receiver is going to be the key, Gabriel Davis. I think Gabriel Davis needs to have a day.
I think it's going to be Cole Beasley.
Okay. Yeah. And listen, he's been banged up.
He has.
And they haven't known him as much.
No.
And when they do go to him, he's short on the third down a lot. Before, he was getting that every play.
Also, John Brown's been peppered.
I was going to say John Brown doesn't. Do you guys see the way John Brown's playing? Do you guys think he looks anything like he was?
I think
he's still hurt.
No, he's still a factor, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's definitely a deep threat.
The Buffalo Bills need a third receiver tomorrow. They need a third receiver. And can Singletary play like he did? Second half, Singletary was really good last week.
He was.
I just don't think he's good.
I'm telling you, look, you want to talk about props, you want to talk about overs. Look at the passing yards. Josh Allen, 303. Patrick Mahomes, 315. Just comparatively to the other game, Aaron Rodgers, 285. Tom Brady, 285. Sometimes the props will tell the story for you. Those prop lines will tell the story for you. So, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, man, I think I'd probably rather go over on the passing yards. I don't think the run's going to be a big factor in the Buffalo Chiefs game. I think you're talking about a series of explosive plays and who makes the turnover. I think you're going to have to win on, you know, there's going to be a turnover, a big turnover in that game. Who's going to get it? I didn't pick the sides in either on the podcast on Thursday in either of the games. I would like to take Kansas City and I would like to take Green Bay, but knowing how things are going to be, it's going to be the worst possible outcome for me. Just give me the Bucks and the Bills.
Who's running the ball for Kansas City, Williams?
We don't know. We don't know. Williams or Hilaire.
If Hilaire is in, then he's going to be the primary back. But Williams will probably be in the mix, too. And Bell is pretty much irrelevant at this point.
I think the way to beat Buffalo is to run the football.
Have some sort of a run game.
Yeah, something.
Like, I know that Mahomes has been slinging it all season long, but I think it's just because their run game's been so poor.
I think Tre'Davious White has his hands full. But they're gonna. I think that maybe they'll use like Tyreek Hill on sweeps like they've been doing. In the end, you're gonna put your money on a quarterback. Who is it? It's Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean definitely it's Mahomes.
Who's got the better defense? I think the Chiefs might.
I think it's probably pretty close. I mean, I think it's just whoever plays up that day. I mean, in the secondary, I think Buffalo probably has a better secondary, and Kansas City probably has a better front seven, which is not, it's not exactly a burning hot take there. So, I think Buffalo is going to struggle to run the ball, similar to what they did in that first game. I think they're going to have to air it out. I think Josh Allen's going to have to be really good tomorrow, and if you're asking Josh Allen to step back in the pocket 35, 40 times in a game like this, I think that he's prone to make a mistake in that position. That being said, I need the Bills to lose because otherwise it just gets worse and worse for Dan Lipschitz. I fully own that. So I'm taking the Bills because every side that I've taken the past few weeks has been terrible. So give me the Bills. The totals have been great. The sides have been terrible. Give me the Bills and the Bucks tomorrow. Hope they both lose. Oh, wow. But give me those two.
Is that a PP? Or?
No.
Okay.
No. I do.
I knew to get out some plays.
I think the Bills are hot. Are really hot. Can they go into Kansas City and win? I don't think so. But what's Mahomes? No Allaire? They can't run the football, dude. I think Buffalo wins.
I mean, Williams was pretty good last week.
He was okay. He ran hard.
Yeah.
He ran hard.
I know that all of the attention has been on Mahomes and the concussion, obviously, and rightfully so. But do you guys recall that he kind of like came up limp with one of his?
He's got a foot thing.
He's got a turf toe going on.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I think he can play without that. I mean, he played with a bad knee.
No, he's going to play. I just wonder if that.
No, I mean, I think he still be
rushing game.
I think he might not run.
Yeah,
but he's still a fact. Like he played with a bad knee last year and won a Super Bowl. This is a really tough game for me. The Chiefs have not covered a spread in 10 games. 10 games. They played down to their opponent.
Was the last cover the Jets? I thought they covered against the Jets. Was it 1-10? Or was that the last
one? Let's see here. I have it right here.
I think they should have covered last week without the Mahomes injury, obviously. They were cruising.
They were going to cover that game.
They went 7-10. On the year altogether, including, I think it was 1-8-1. 1-8-1.
Okay, yeah. So I think they covered that Jets game. That was the only game I remember being like, I think they covered that game. That was it, though.
So I'm going to be consistent here, and I faded it on the national championship. We can PP it if you want. I want to take the Chiefs and the. Chiefs and the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. That's my matchup. It's plus 140. If you money line them, you put $100, you get 156.
Yeah,
that's at least.
I think we would take the 156 and 140.
But what I'm saying though is that I don't want to take them against the spread. I don't think the Chiefs cover at 3.5.
It's 3 right now. I think
it could be 4 at kickoff. Who knows?
I think it'll be 3.5 or 4.
And then the thing is with the I think the Bucks will hang around. And I think Green Bay pulls away late.
I think if it's a close game, I think Tampa wins. I think I think they'll probably need a 2-score game to beat Brady. It's Brady in a close game. I can't pick against them.
I won't be shocked if the Buffalo Bills win tomorrow.
I won't be shocked if there's no clear cut thing for me. I feel very confident about the totals. I feel very confident. The Packers game goes under. I feel confident that the Chiefs game goes over. I PP'd those. Quickly, Joe, before we have to end the show because we got to get out of here quickly, let me give some college basketball. PP Louisville -2.5.
They've been hot on Saturdays.
They're home versus Duke today. I hate Duke. I'm fading Duke.
Duke off a loss.
Yep. I'm taking Portland State. They lost the other night. I'm going back on them. Portland State minus 2.5. And I will.
How about UCLA? Minus 4.5.
I'm going to pass on everything else right now. I think that's good.
And give me UCLA. Minus 4.5.
All right. And I'm gonna put out some NBA tonight. Or an NHL.
There was one more I wanted to give out. It was a total. It was the Florida State Clemson game under. What was the total?
Let me see if I can find
140 and change. 136?
Let me see. Clemson.
There's so many games today.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. There's a million games, so I don't remember. 136.5.
136.5 under. Boom, boom.
There you go.
What the Bruins?
How about this? How about I'll give you a little prop here. How about this, Joe? A little prop. Ronald Jones over 36.5 rushing yards.
Boom. And I already gave you Gronk over 2.5 receptions.
I'm serious talk. If Gronk gets 3 catches, I'm Uber. Yeah. I'm Uber Eatsing a mac and cheese to Joe Murray's house.
Yeah,
braised pork
loins,
mac and rib,
whatever.
What if you lose, Joe?
Oh,
I you gotta let you guys make fun of me.
Yeah,
no, it's come on. We're giving you mac and cheese. How can you beat that?
Buy you breakfast.
Right.
Oh, he brings in the air fryer and cooks his breakfast in here.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, like management won't mind that. An air fryer in the studio.
During COVID.
What could go wrong?
It's a COVID air fryer.
Just trick the entire studio.
I'll buy a breakfast sandwich.
Okay.
Or parfait.
A parfait.
Yeah.
A parfait. Parfait.
Okay. How about this Bruins total today? 5.5.
I'm going to go under. I'm gonna go
under 6-1 the last 7 meetings in Boston, and unfortunately the one was last week.
I don't love it. I do think that the Bruins are -165 today after an overtime win, and now they have Halak in net. Feels high. Feels very high. Feels very strong. I might go Philly tonight.
All right, Dan, we'll celebrate our 1-year anniversary next week of our show. We'll find out who the Super Bowl matchup is next week. We got a lot of money on the table today. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Dan. Ryan Johnson on the Hockey Show is next. This has been another edition of the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Who you got?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.